I am now going to walk to the other side of this control center and there I shall point to another instrument. Describe the instrument to me, said Vuldar.
The instrument is a dome-shaped with colored lights in it, replied Edwin, after a short pause.
You have done very well, Edwin. I can see that in time you will receive my mental impressions without any difficulties whatsoever. I was amazed how this conversation between Vuldar and Edwin developed. Vuldar spoke slowly over the radio and Edwin came back with his replies without any pause. I wondered how Vuldar managed to hear Edwin's replies. Perhaps he used Edwin's ears just as he probably used his eyes to see that we were both standing earlier. Having satisfactorily concluded his experiment with Edwin, Vuldar continued, saying, "And now Cal, I hope you understand the procedure for these thought transmissions. Believe me, my friend, there is much for us to do. Look after Edwin as best you can because this is a delicate experiment. Do not allow others to overtax him with too many questions while he is in thought contact. There will still be direct transmissions via the radio receiver to give you further instructions. And now, my friends on planet Earth, we wish you well with this new venture. For this may be the beginning of a new phase on Earth. For you, Kyle and Edwin, and for all those who are not bound by prejudice, may you understand what the Confederation is trying to do. Try and lift yourself in thought to the highest level so that we can contact you and you in turn, us. We will deliver our messages directly to anyone who is in tune with us. Farewell, my friends. This is Vuldar of the Corinthian Division now ending this direct radio transmission." His next words were obviously directed to Edwin, who was still sitting with closed eyes in his armchair. Arkarkisi Arko Jacolando, Edwin. Farewell, my friends, until we meet again in thought communication. The radio broadcast came to an end and Edwin opened his eyes, stretched and looked around. When asked how he felt, he replied that he was fine although his head felt a bit strange. Subsequently, Edwin proved to be a good transmitter and receiver of sound and visual images. These thought transmissions have, as far as I can tell, not had any adverse effects on him. On the contrary, he found they increased his general comprehension and soon he was completely accustomed to them. A few days later I responded to Vuldar's invitation to participate in the new experiment and I made a short tape which I gave to Edwin. He promised to play back my tape when he was in radio contact with Vuldar again. Playing my tape would transmit my personal message to Vuldar. Neither Edwin nor I would understand the modus operandi of the tape transmission from a tape recorder to the astral craft, but the method worked well. For the previous 12 years radio was the method of communication but now we had a new instrument, Edwin. We were both nervous about the new mode of communication but I was excited by its novelty. For a number of years, I have operated as a radio amateur and I soon began to look upon this thought transmission as I did my radio. I understand very little of the neuropsychic process taking place in the active brains of the two participating transmitters. The bioelectrical currents flowing through normal brains are too small to send electromagnetic radiations far into the surrounding environment. Nevertheless, all I had to do was to tune my receiver, Edwin, to the Confederation frequency and communication was possible. I realized the importance of this fine-tuning much later. 6 weeks after the evening of the first new experiment, Edwin was told by radio of the next thought transmission. That night I carefully carried out all Vuldar instructed. Edwin was seated in his favorite armchair listening to some soft background music. As the 8 o'clock hour approached, I placed the earphones on Edwin's head and connected them to a tape recorder which played the Confederation sounds. Edwin closed his eyes, leaned back in his chair and a half minute after the sounds ended, I removed the earphones. Elizabeth and I waited expectantly, then very gently, Edwin began to speak in his normal voice but slower than usual. "Greetings. This is Vuldar who contacts you. This is the very first time that I speak through my friend Edwin. We are at present at an altitude of (560 km) looking down on your planet. There are storm conditions, which I am sure you are all aware of. Greetings, Elizabeth. Greetings,
Carl. We both replied to Voldar's greeting and bade him welcome to Edwin's home. The two-way communication seemed to be working well and Edwin looked comfortably relaxed in his chair. He had opened his eyes and was looking at us. His hands were folded on his lap. Was this really Voldar sitting there in front of us, or was he still high up in the craft looking down? The storm he mentioned did not really bother us, nor did it interfere with the thought communication. Voldar continued, I would like to describe the view from here. It is beautiful, with towering pillars of cloud which are lit up every now and then by lightning flashes. Above us are the clear heavens, and the stars and planets of your solar system are a sight to see. The personnel and myself are seated here in this astral craft. The interior lights are dimmed. And I am concentrating on Edwin. This is the first time we have used thought only, so let us hope it will be a success. I hope that Edwin and you, Cal, will accept this new method of contact. I know that it is strange to you, for I have been able to tap your thoughts on this matter as we proceed. I have received your message. I am pleased that you will do your part in this latest venture. It is yet another attempt we are making. We have tried many times before. But this time we are using different methods, and we have chosen you, Cal, to express our views to the people of Earth. Whether the people will accept them, we cannot tell at the present. In these talks I will explain as best I can about life in the Confederation. But you must realize that we are many years ahead of you in time. But what is time? Time is a word that has been invented on Earth. The word time does not exist in the Confederation. We do not know what time is. Voldar was coming through quite well now. Edwin's voice was getting stronger. I was watching the tape recorder to see that a good recording was made of our very first thought transmission. I am sure, Cal, that you will be asked the question, why does the Confederation bother to talk to the inhabitants of Earth? What is the purpose of the Confederation being here on your planet? To answer these questions, we have to go back into the ancient history of our people. For even in those far-off days, the Confederation had starships which could exceed the speed of light. They discovered the magnetic fields and understood how these could be harnessed to travel faster than light. It is these magnetic fields which are the key to the formation of the Confederation. There is much that we can tell you about these magnetic fields. These ancient cosmic pioneers explored our universe. Then they discovered your universe, and they wanted to explore this too, to find out whether there was life out there. After many expeditions, the planet Earth was discovered. The beings they found there were very primitive. They returned to report this to their superiors. They had found life, and in the other universe, there was much interest in this life. The superiors of the old Confederation decided to send more expeditions and settlers. Some settled on your planet, bringing their culture with them. These were the first contacts. Our interest in your planet stems from those early days. Our ancestors came to guide and suggest a better way of life and then returned home. But some of the settlers remained. A great deal of assistance was given to many areas, but mainly to the inhabitants of Atlantis, and after its destruction, to ancient Egypt, where many of the Atlanteans had been resettled. There, the pyramids still stand as a monument to the Egyptians who toiled to erect them. Yes, the Egyptians built them with the help of visitors from the Confederation. They were used as transmitting and receiving stations and for the storage of magnetosolar energy. They were located in a strategic area, and the ancient starships used to home in on them. Their design is significant in more ways than one. In the coming changes on your planet, this pyramidal design will again be used in your buildings. This was the first time Voldar mentioned the coming changes on Earth. In later transmissions, more emphasis was given to this subject. At the time, I did not pay much attention to it, as other topics interested me more. I was reminded one that some historians suggest that several times mankind has made a leap forward that is unexplained by simple historical revolution. It is tempting to relate the Confederation's visits to Earth with these forward leaps. The primitive Egyptians started building in granite and limestone in a way never equaled before or since. Voldar never said anything about the remarkable genius Inhotep or the heretic pharaoh Akhenaten. He did say though, that the Confederation helped the Egyptians to build the pyramids, and also stressed that relations with Earthlings were not always peaceful. The early Egyptians wanted to use their newly gained knowledge for warfare to conquer the world. He said there was a confrontation and in the ensuing struggle two Grand Orients were killed. The superiors of the Confederation then decided to withdraw all their people from our planet. Voldar said they were persistent visitors to this planet of ours so that a generation or so after that unfortunate incident, they probably returned. They were always elusive and remained in the background with advice and guidance. How many missions they sent to Earth and their contribution, if any, to our progress will remain unknown to us. Before this last experience had run a year, there was another confrontation with Earth leaders and the Confederation again withdrew all their personnel from our planet. This time it was for good except to rescue those leaders who choose to leave if an occasion should arise. But the Confederation is not the only infiltrator on this planet. There are many other extraterrestrial, or extradimensional, and sometimes both, influences which are more difficult to trace. There is at least one which the Confederation has identified to us. This is their arch-enemy, the Outer Worlds. Since the dawn of our history, this spoiler has been on Earth with a large and active following. Adversary. A puzzling aspect of the UFO contactee phenomenon is the frequency with which this adversary syndrome occurs. It is found in a good percentage on significant UFO contactee cases where they persist and extensive dialogue is developed. This syndrome crosses all boundaries such as race, place and society, and might tell us something about the origin of all of our various religions in this world. We also find an adversary here in all of our own holy works. Is this only coincidence? Your planet is a beautiful planet, Voldar continued. It has all the ingredients one could ask for. The vast oceans, mountain ranges, continents. There is nothing wrong with your planet. It is those who govern and seek to lead it. We come in peace. We have tried many times to convince these many rulers and superiors of yours that our methods might be better. But they have replied that they cannot bring about any changes on your Earth. It would upset the balance of things. But we are persistent. We will try to uplift and enlighten people even if it is only a few. We are not here to conquer. They could have done that any time they chose. Our astral craft is a symbol of peace. It brings us from our distant universe, dimension, through time, to this beautiful planet Earth. We have come to share our knowledge and experience with you. But my friends, let's be honest with each other. If we were to give you the secrets of the power of propulsion which the Confederation has, the secrets of the astral craft, what would you then do with it? There are countries who would use this power for aggression. In all likelihood, they would destroy your Earth. A long time ago, the superiors of the Confederation made a solemn pledge which is still valid today. Only when the Confederation is absolutely certain that Earth has adopted a better way of life, will the secrets we have learned through the Divine One be given to you. All we ask is that people of your planet change their ways, particularly their vicious aggression. Wars must cease, there must be unity among the nations. Of course, we realized long ago that you have many problems. Problems which we do not have in the Confederation. You have a multitude of races. This is strange to us. Indeed, it is very strange, for it is the only planet we have come across which has so many. On Calder's there is only one race.